Frustrated with my own surroundings, I slipped out of them and into someone else's. My best friend Lissa's. Lissa was a Maroi, and we shared a psychic link. One that let me go to her mind and see the world through her eyes. All Maroi wielded some type of elemental magic. Lissa's was spirit, an element tied to psychic and healing powers. It was rare among Maroi, who usually used more physical elements, and we barely understood its abilities, which were incredible. She'd used spirit to bring me back from the dead a few years ago, and that's what had forged our bond. Being in her mind freed me from my cage but offered little help for my problem. Lissa had been working hard to prove my innocence, ever since the hearing that had laid out all the evidence against me. My stake being used in the murder had only been the beginning. My opponents had been quick to remind everyone about my antagonism toward the Queen and had also found a witness to testify about my whereabouts during the murder. That testimony had left me without an alibi. The council had decided there was enough evidence to send me to a full-fledged trial, where I would receive my verdict. Lissa had been trying desperately to get people's attention and convince them I'd been framed. She was having trouble finding anyone who would listen, however, because the entire Maroi royal court was consumed with preparations for Tatiana's elaborate funeral. A monarch's death was a big deal. Maroi and Dompiers, half-vampires like me, were coming from all over the world to see the spectacle. Food, flowers, decorations, even musicians. The full deal. If Tatiana had gotten married, I doubted the event would have been this elaborate. With so much activity and buzz, no one cared about me now. As far as most people were concerned, I was safely stashed away and unable to kill again. Tatiana's murderer had been found. Justice was served. Case closed. Before I could get a clear picture of Lissa's surroundings, a commotion at the jail jerked me back into my own head. Someone had entered the area and was speaking to the guards, asking to see me. It was my first visitor in days. My heart pounded, and I leapt up to the bars, hoping it was someone who would tell me this had all been a horrible mistake. My visitor wasn't quite who I'd expected. "Old man," I said wearily, "what are you doing here?" Abe Mazur stood before me. As always, he was a sight to behold. It was the middle of summer, hot and humid, seeing as we were right in the middle of rural Pennsylvania. But that didn't stop him from wearing a full suit. It was a flashy one, perfectly tailored and adorned with a brilliant purple silk tie and matching scarf that just seemed like overkill. Gold jewelry flashed against the dusky hue of his skin, and he looked like he'd recently trimmed his short black beard. Abe was a Maroi, and although he wasn't royal, he wielded enough influence to be. He also happened to be my father.
"I'm your lawyer," he said cheerfully. "Here to give you legal counsel, of course."
"You aren't a lawyer," I reminded him, "and your last bit of advice didn't work out so well." That was mean of me. Abe, despite having no legal training whatsoever, had defended me at my hearing. Obviously, since I was locked up and headed for trial, the outcome of that hadn't been so great. But, in all my solitude, I'd come to realize that he'd been right about something. No lawyer, no matter how good, could have saved me at the hearing. I had to give him credit for stepping up to a lost cause, though considering our sketchy relationship, I still wasn't sure why he had. My biggest theories were that he didn't trust royals and that he felt paternal obligation. In that order.
"My performance was perfect," he argued. "Whereas your compelling speech in which you said, 'if I was the murderer,' didn't do us any favors. Putting that image in the judge's head wasn't the smartest thing you could have done."
I ignored the barb and crossed my arms. "So what are you doing here? I know it's not just a fatherly visit. You never do anything without a reason."
"Of course not. Why do anything without a reason?"
"Don't start up with your circular logic," he winked.
"No need to be jealous."